This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
This week on Witness History, the smart speaker Alexa is used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. But did you know its voice was created by two students in Poland? After watching old sci-fi movies, Łukasz and Michał decided they could create a device which sounded less robotic and more like a human. After spending years developing their own technology, they started winning awards, and big companies like Amazon took notice. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanne Sanderson, broadcaster and former England professional footballer. I began playing football in Southeast London at the age of 5 years old for an all-boys team because there was no other girls' teams in the local area. I then got scouted for Arsenal at 9 years old, made my debut for the Arsenal first team when I was 14 and never looked back. In 2016, I suffered an ACL injury whilst playing for the Western New York Flash. ACL stands for anterior cruciate ligament. Football-focused studies suggest women are 6 times more likely to suffer ACL injuries compared to men and are 25% less likely to make a full return to high-level football. But let's start at the top. What exactly is an ACL injury?
So this is my knee. This is the kneecap in front of the knee. This is my shin bone, the tibia, my thigh bone, the femur, underneath here. My muscles are around there, and the ACL is in the middle.
This is physio Harvard Monk-Ski at the Oslo Sports Trauma Research Center in Norway.
And it's supposed to stop the rotation of the tibia in this direction. So if it goes too far, it ruptures, and the thigh bone will slide off the shin bone and come back in. That's when the ACL ruptures. And here you can see the scar, and this is where they take the tendon out to replace the ACL.
And this is an experience I only know too well. And I'm not the only footballer. Nearly half of the ACL reconstructions in the UK are a result of playing football, and female players are up to 6 times more likely at risk than males. But why is it more prevalent in females?
That's really the big question, right? I can't give you a short and easy answer because we really don't know. But we do know that we see the same patterns all around the world. So like basketball in the US, we have more ACL injuries among females than males. Handball in Scandinavia, football around Europe, we know that females are 4 to 6 times more likely to have an ACL injury than their male counterparts. We see from the statistics that the age groups where most females tear their ACL is between the ages 14 to 19, which is then sort of following puberty. And we know that the normal development for females during puberty is that they gain some fat mass, but they're not having testosterone as the boys. So the females are not getting their strength improvements from nature. They really have to do the strength training to get strong enough. It can also be another issue that females don't have the same quality of coaches, the same quality of pitches, the same quality of football boots. So a lot of things are coming into it. There hasn't been any really good studies on risk factors for ACL injuries in young females. There has been on men.
That's a point that seems to run throughout this conversation. The research and the data on female ACL injuries just doesn't exist in the same way it does for men. There simply isn't as much information out there. From the evidence we do have from a number of studies, including one from the British Orthopaedic Association, injury prevention programs are key to tackling the huge rise in ACL injuries. Studies have shown that ACL injury prevention programs reduce the risk of all ACL injuries by half in all athletes and by 2/3 in female athletes sustaining non-contact ACL injuries. Power Up to Play is a UK-based charity initiative set up by medical professionals to improve young player welfare in grassroots sports through prevention of serious knee injuries. They offer free training to coaches in high-risk sports such as football, netball, basketball and hockey.
What's the plan then, Kate?
We're in a changing room, which is the new.
Kate Jackson is a sports and medicine doctor as well as a co-founder of the charity.
We talked to them about how to do a structured injury prevention warm-up that reduces the risk of ACL injuries by over 50%. And we do face-to-face training with them. So we explain why we need to do it, what we're trying to do, and then we get them out on the pitch doing the exercises so that they really understand about how easy it is to introduce this with their teams. Just 10 minutes before their training session, 5 minutes at the end, and they can reduce that risk of ACL injuries in their young players significantly.
Sessions like this one in Oxford in the UK, where numerous coaches of both genders have turned up to train together at Longford Park Football Club. It sounds like they're making a real impact for the coaches involved.
I am assistant coach for Vixens under 13s. I've got a really important job of making sure that my girls are actually warmed up properly, trained properly, and actually then can continue their football journey, which is the main thing. So if we have the knowledge and we know what we're looking out for, we're trained, then we can actually then train our future girls. We need to prolong their journey.
I'm the assistant manager for the Vixens. We have ranges from like 19 to 50. We need to look after every single one of them. So a decent warm-up so we can protect everyone is why I'm here, really.
Kate holds a presentation in a changing room before taking the coaches outside on a pitch to take part in the stretches themselves.
So what are we going to do over the next hour? We're just going to say what's Power Up to Play about. We're going to tell you what the problem is, why it's important, and what we can do about it.
Okay, you ready for the video? All right, let's have a look.
It is important during the programme that athletes focus on having...
The coaches attending are volunteers and parents who are helping to train grassroots football and rugby clubs in their own time. Power Up to Play are able to teach them vital exercises such as lunges, shuttle runs and squats, which are characterised into areas where they're best used, from warm-up to strengthening, agilities and stretches, all are essential in preventing injuries for the young people they're working with.
So jog line to line, what lines should we take? We might as well do the long line.
Okay,
do that? Let's go. I'll come with you.
Footballers should have strong hamstrings. It's really important.
That's the only thing I have got strong.
Yeah. 10 more seconds. Good work. Nice control. Anyone with the younger, so the under 13s, you're just going to have to try and not stop them from racing. All right, that's okay. It. And now forward and backward jumps. 30 seconds.
Brilliant. Well done.
Very, very well done. Happy?
Yeah.
Shall we wander back in? Because I did promise an hour. I thought that session was brilliant, and it is always really encouraging to know that these grassroots coaches are really interested in the welfare of their youth players. And that's why they turn up in their own time in the evening to come and listen to us. And that, to me, is encouraging and makes me want to carry on doing what we're doing.
Whilst prevention training is most definitely helping to reduce ACL injuries, it's clear more is needed. Nikki Doucette is the chief executive of the Women's Professional League in England and spoke about this very subject to the BBC in 2024.
When you look at sports science for elite female athletes, I think there's only been something like 6% of all sports science has been specifically on female athletes. And I just think that's such a massive opportunity that we have. So our team and a lot of the clubs are already starting to invest in more specific sports science research for the elite athletes. If you have sports science for her and how to get female athletes back to peak performance, whether they're coming back from having a baby or they're trying to, you know, plan for one or whatever that looks like, or from any type of injury, I just think healthier females long term creates a healthier society, which is a more positive impact for all of us.
My earliest memories are being a five-year-old knowing I wanted to be a professional footballer. It was unheard of. There wasn't even a women's professional league. It wasn't even semi-professional at that time, but there was never going to be anything or anyone that stopped me from being a professional footballer and inspiring me to achieve my dreams. Fortunately, there are people feeling inspiration in the same way that I did then and are using that passion to push for advancements in equipment and kit for female athletes. Sports scientist Amelia Funnell was inspired to work in the area whilst watching the 2019 World Cup, which was held in France, a competition in which I was able to play in.
I did my undergraduate at Georgia Tech, grew up in the States, and then moved over to the UK later on to study sports biomechanics at Loughborough University. So that's kind of where my journey into sports engineering began, but my passion for this topic of inclusive research and design started back when I studied in Argentina. And that was during the time of the 2019 World Cup. And I remember sitting in a cafe trying to find Wi-Fi and so that I could try and watch the games in a country that was mad on football or soccer, as I would say too. I wanted to watch the US women. And it was just very frustrating that in a country that praised certain footballers as God, they don't look towards their women footballers at all in the same way. So that started my journey around how can we better support female athletes in general, and what can I do, and how can I utilize my background and combine maybe engineering and my passion to then make a change in that world.
Having completed her master's in sports biomechanics, Amelia now works as development lead at Australian company IDA Sports, which stands for International Development Academy. IDA Sports develop high performance and comfortable footwear for athletes, backed by science and research into specific needs of female sports players. IDA Sports released their first boots purposely made for female athletes in 2020, but their design and research is always ongoing. She showed us more about the work they're doing.
So we're here with the University of Exeter. So this project is specifically looking at the needs across soft turf sports. So when you're playing on wetter grounds, things like that, what kind of traction do you need for those? So looking at developing the first female-specific soft ground boot. We've been chatting with a bunch of the players here at Exeter City, getting them, you know, to try on some of our boots and upcoming prototypes as well.
But like a striker, like it's light, but I'm thinking, how can I go into a tackle as hard as possible, get the ball?
I feel supported.
Yeah.
So it's really handy to get your feedback because we are in the works to create something that is maybe more similar to this, where, again, some of those features that you're talking about, like more support, more, you know, protection.
Yeah.
We are kind of looking to develop footwear that better suits the female athlete. So how can we provide comfort and fit? So time and time again, we hear from athletes, even just today, we've heard kind of, what are those two factors? I can't even pick three more factors when I have to pick five, because fit and comfort are so front of mind for a lot of these athletes, because they might have grown up wearing boots where they've constantly had issues.
The room is filled with equipment to analyse players' feet as part of the project that combines information from athletes who perform on turf for their sports, such as football and rugby. It includes a foot scanning machine that collects information on foot shape, measurements of the width of the foot, height of the arch, and more. There's also a pressure plate that is able to localise loads under the foot to help guide where placement of the stud will be used. Amelia's colleagues from the University of Exeter in southwest of England, Roxy and Sharon, are running this area of the project.
So this is our 3D foot scanner from the University of Exeter, and essentially participants are able to stand in it and we're able to get a 3D scan of their feet from the scanner onto our computer, and then we're able to use that to get measurements of people's feet so that can inform shoe design.
Yeah. It works kind of like a big photocopy.
Science experiment.
ACL is becoming quite like a known thing within the game. I know lots of players that have had ACL injuries. I've got lots of friends that have had ACL injuries or had ACL surgeries and things like that. So it is a thing that's sort of prominent. It's at the forefront of your mind.
You put one foot in the middle of the scanner for me.
Yeah. I do have a question. I normally wear inserts. Does that matter?
Right. Oh my God.
Calm down.
It's painless. I know, but it's just weird, isn't it?
With the amount of ACLs you see in the women's game compared to the men's, you do wonder whether it's to do with the boots. So it would be amazing if they can find that link and provide us with boots made for us, because we are different to men, so our boots should be different.
We're going to collect some data on you walking. So it's collecting the pressure under your feet as you're walking along. So, usually just starting here, walk down this way. So, what we were collecting there is the localised pressures under the foot. First of all, when someone's just standing still, so we can look at whether they're taking more load on a certain area or on one foot more than the other. Then we ask the player to walk over the plate, so we're getting a more functional, dynamic image of the pressures under the foot then. That'll allow us to see whether the player has a functional foot that the arch is in contact with the ground a lot or not, which may be influential on the boot design.
There's obviously multiple risk factors for ACL injury and ankle injury, and we are just looking at one of those kind of risk factors, and that's that shoe to surface interaction. So how does the shoe interact with the ground, and how can we better optimize that for the female player? Women have a wider forefoot, so that ball of the foot, in comparison to their heel. So a bit narrower at the foot, we say, you know, it's a bit more triangular if you want to talk simple. So a lot of female players do experience rubbing at the heel, and that can because they're in a boot that is not narrow enough and supporting them at that heel. So with our boots, we really try and kind of support that shape. Also, women tend to have higher arches, and they have a more proximately placed fifth metatarsal. So that means their pinky toe is basically a little bit closer to their heel.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, the smart speaker Alexa is used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. But did you know its voice was created by two students in Poland? After watching old sci-fi movies, Łukasz and Michał decided they could create a device which sounded less robotic and more like a human. After spending years developing their own technology, they started winning awards, and big companies like Amazon took notice. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your podcasts.
When I first realised I had my ACL injury, my initial thoughts were that I was in complete denial of actually having the injury, because it was one of those injuries that nobody ever wants to get because of the recovery process. The effect it has on players is something that Kate from Power Up to Play noticed while working with young athletes.
I was a sports doctor working in professional football and could see how much impact an ACL rupture has on a young person. Or an older person, but particularly because I worked in the academy section, you have a 15, 16-year-old player with an ACL injury. It's not just the 12 to 18 months physical impact. It's psychological and it's social. They're out of their game. They're out of their sport. They're out of their social group and they lose their place on their team. And that has a big impact on them.
Footballers have seasons and training and competitions planned well in advance. But then in what feels like a split second, it's all taken away. And then there's always the question you ask yourself, will I ever play again? Female footballers are 25% less likely to make a full return to their sport after an ACL injury compared to male footballers. And there is still no clear reason why, making both research and rehabilitation imperative. My rehab journey was kind of split into about four or five different parts. The beginning was really difficult because I was in denial with the injury. I had an incredible physiotherapist that looked after me, but it was just the mental side of it that I really struggled with. It seemed to get easier as time went on because I was no longer in denial, but I still think it was an ongoing process that I struggled with during the whole injury. The physical things I had to do to strengthen my knee were bringing the strength back to my quad. I think that's something people don't really talk about because you can focus on the knee, but I couldn't even lift my leg up. The first day of physical therapy, they said to me, lay on your back and lift your leg up. And I was like, I can do this, no problem. You have no strength in your leg. So that's something you have to build up. You know, you have to do different exercises. And one thing I will say is it's celebrating the small victories along the way that I think really helped me. Like when you can walk without the brace, when you can run in the water, when you can run on a treadmill. And those are really small milestones you can celebrate during the journey. In Oslo, Physio Harvard showed us how they're managing to focus on rehabilitation in specific athletes' needs, based on testing and the data that's been collected through their careers, pre and post injury.
We're actually in our testing facility where we have a lot of equipment to do physical testing. I'm here with Sunna, a professional football player who's come in for her physical testing setting, and she will be doing the tests with Sondre, our physical trainer and test specialist, here today. So down this hall there are sensors all the way. So on the wall we can measure the time, while these yellow things on the floor can measure the contact time, so we can see if you run differently between your left and your right leg, which is really important again as secondary prevention after an ACL injury to get back to normal function and coming back to football. When a person is running, we measure the time they're on the ground, the length of the stride, the difference between the non-injured and the injured side, and the speed, so how fast you can run. Because if you do this when you have had your ACL surgery, you come here, you do the running 4 months after surgery, your numbers are not really good, but then you have exercises to train, and then you come back 2 months later and we do the same and you can see the improvement, which is a really important thing, because having an ACL reconstruction is a really long process with rehab up to a year. And they really need to see that what they're doing on the way gives them some benefit, really.
Not everyone is getting under 10% side difference, but we tried to compare it to their last value from while they were here testing with the team, while they were non-injured. So, yeah.
That's the beauty of it. So we have measures of them when they were healthy players, then they have their ACL injury. They come back, they do the same tests, and we can see, there's a big difference now, but 2 months later, they can say, OK, I'm getting closer to where I was. My training is beneficial. We do several different tests because your running can be normal, but your jumping can be abnormal, or your strength can be off on one side. So we do a variety of tests, sort of like a battery, and then we identify where the deficiencies are, and then we can target the rehab and the secondary prevention towards those. And now she's going to test jumping abilities, and we're comparing the right and the left leg, because you know that symmetry is important to have a good function, but also to prevent injuries or re-injuries. And we're measuring the height, the contact time, and her ability to produce force through the knee. Mm. Det är favorittestendalen.
Den är det länge sedan. Det
var som man kunde en gång. Right, so we can see here her numbers are fairly symmetrical, which gives her a green light to continue playing. It usually takes a year. And they need a lot of support because it's a hard road, it's bumpy, it's not always straightforward, and there can be ups and downs. There will be ups and downs on the way. There's almost always some degree of crying at some point during the rehab. My role is to try to motivate and sort of guide them further. I think I've done now more than 2,000 ACL rehabs, which means I also know that they're not all coming back. We have that from science as well. If you're a professional athlete, 90% will come back to the sport they want to go back to. If you're an amateur athlete, the chance of coming back is approximately 50%.
That figure is one that shows how important it is to continue research into ACL injuries, not just for elite athletes and professional athletes, but in a hope that the same research reaches grassroots players and kids just like I was, who got so much joy from kicking a ball around with their teammates and school friends. And the statistics show that the research is even more necessary for females who suffer ACL injuries.
You asked me whether we had girls in the gym. And that's sort of a cultural thing around the world, Europe, Norway as well. We expect boys to be strong from an early age. They are encouraged to go into the gym to get stronger, to be better in their sport. However, I think that still with females, we're not at the same level. Gyms are very male-focused, and it's probably not easy for a girl of 14 to go into gym with grown men who are a lot stronger and start there to do her strength training. So I really think we need to make sure that we give the girls opportunities and arenas where they can do strength training, which is beneficial for them.
I think we become really desensitized to this injury. And I think, you know, when it happens to a few players, it dies down a little bit. The players do their rehab, they're back on the pitch now. But I think I want to see more help to the grassroots level, to the players that are not just playing in the top leagues in England, because I think ultimately when it happens to a higher profile player, there will be more eyes on it. And I completely understand that. But I think my hopes and dreams and aspirations is to kind of keep talking about this. Even this subject does make me feel quite triggered by my own story, because when I'm retelling it, it brings up those memories. But then I also take strength from the fact that I was able to get through it. So I think when you get through something like this, it kind of adds a different armor. I feel like a little bit stronger for it. I wish I never went through it, but I think anyone that's been through this injury will tell you the same thing. But I think I just hope that we start to see the research kind of coming into fruition, as opposed to having to wait a long period of time. And I think we'll unfortunately continue to see more players doing this injury until everybody kind of takes more notice. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. Built Different was produced by Sean Allsop. It was an Audio Always production from the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, the smart speaker Alexa is used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. But did you know its voice was created by 2 students in Poland? After watching old sci-fi movies, Wukasz and Mikhail decided they could create a device which sounded less robotic and more like a human. After spending years developing their own technology, they started winning awards, and big companies like Amazon took notice. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your podcasts.